He pursued us, didn't he? He brought us out of the miry clay, set our feet on a rock to stay. Praise the Lord.
I lift your name on high. Thank you.
worship you tonight. We love you. We adore you. Lord, you've given us so much. We thank you for your blessings. We adore you. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it again.
Would you turn tonight to the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. It doesn't mean tonight that you are an idiot. When it talks about a fool, it just means somebody who doesn't have understanding in a particular area. And all of us lack understanding in some areas, and the Lord wants us to have an understanding heart. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would do that tonight, that you would implant within each of us a heart of understanding, a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, a heart that would understand your ways and understand the things of life, that we might be able to apply the practical principles of your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start out with a statement that I want you to catch tonight. The Lord wants us to understand with our hearts. The Lord wants us to understand with our hearts. I was reading something that somebody had emailed me, and they were talking about going through the book of Proverbs, and in particular, chapter 6. And they mentioned something that caught my interest. There's a Hebrew word that is used in that chapter. The word is leb, L-E-B. It's translated two different ways in that chapter. And I noticed in verse 21, it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck." The word leb, that Hebrew word leb, is translated heart in that particular verse. Bind these commandments, these laws, on your heart. And then I noticed in verse 32, still in Proverbs chapter 6, it says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." And in that verse is the word leb again. And this time, instead of being translated heart, it's translated understanding. Understanding. "Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding." Now, to me, that was interesting. I'm always trying to gain understanding. I don't know, there's something about the word understanding that has gotten my interest, my attention. And if you do a study of the word leb, just in the book of Proverbs, you would find that it occurs 92 times in 90 verses, and most of the time that word is translated heart. Heart. There are a few other translations of that word, and some of them that might be of interest were, for example, Proverbs 10:13. "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Translated understanding there. "Foolishness," it says, "is bound in the heart of a child, and so the rod of correction," excuse me, "the rod of correction gives him understanding." Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21. "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." And here the word was translated wisdom. Wisdom and understanding are very close. They are very close. They are actually related. Wisdom is learning how to do what God wants me to do. Understanding is learning why God wants me to do it. Excuse me. And I will elaborate on this a little bit more later. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 12 says, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." I like this quote that I read from Doug Larson. He said, "Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk." Let's catch that one again. Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." And I'll skip down here. I've got a number of verses, but let me just skip down to some different translations of that word. Proverbs 23:34. "Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast." There the word leb is translated midst. Well, we get the same idea. We get the heart, the middle. And then in Proverbs 24:32, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." The word leb is translated considered there. And so to have understanding, to have wisdom, it takes consideration on our part. And then Proverbs 30:19, "The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst," there is the word midst of the sea, "and the way of a man with a maid." I'd like to share with you just 3 points tonight. The first point is this: the key to understanding is understanding the heart. The key to getting understanding and acquiring understanding is understanding the heart. And the reason why I was thrilled when I read this is because of Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. Why don't you turn there? It's a major section of verses here for us. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. Scripture says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." This passage, the word leb, is translated heart. I started to think about it a bit, and it seemed to me that the word heart and the word understanding go together. In fact, in the Hebrew, there is no distinct separation between the heart and understanding. No distinct separation between the heart and understanding. Sometimes it's translated heart, sometimes understanding. No distinct separation. Heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the real person, the authentic person. It's the part of us where we desire, deliberate, and decide. It has been described as the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole, his feelings, his desires, his passions, his thought, his understanding, and will. It's the center of a person. It's also the place to which God turns. When God wants to communicate with us, he does so through our heart, through our feelings, through the place where we make decisions, through our desires, through our passions, through our thought life, through our understanding, and even through our will. We come to know truth not only through reason, but still more so through our hearts. The heart has reasons that reason does not know. Have you ever known something was right in your heart? Or maybe you knew that something was wrong in your heart and you didn't really know why intellectually or mentally, but you just knew it was right or wrong. That's where God speaks to us. Many times he speaks to us in our heart, in our understanding. And although there are other Hebrew words that are translated understanding, there is a heart understanding that is different from simply logical deduction. Now, some people think that Christianity is just ascertaining to true propositions. They look at evidence and neglect the faith side. They might look at the evidence you share here and confirm the perspective that what God does in Ezekiel 36:26 is to persuade us intellectually of his truth. And he does that, he reasons with us, but that is not the only way that he communicates truth to us. The lab type of understanding appears to be something much deeper. The understanding of the heart from Scripture seems to be much deeper than just an intellectual knowledge. And here he contrasts giving us a lab of flesh, something that is living and flexible, rather than a lab of stone. And 8 times, the Bible puts the words heart and understanding together in the same verse. And it declares that we understand with our heart. Examples are our scripture text, Proverbs 8 and verse 5. Will ye simple understand wisdom, and ye fools be of an understanding heart? Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 10. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Sometimes people aren't saved. They're not converted because they don't understand with their heart. The same thought was carried over in the New Testament in John chapter 12 and verse 40. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should hear them. So there is this intellectual knowledge of understanding, but there's also another level of understanding. It has to do with understanding the heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul disdains excellence of speech or of wisdom in verse 1. Persuasive words of human wisdom as opposed to demonstration of the Spirit and power. And the wisdom of men is contrasted with the power of God and the wisdom of this world. Paul insists that the life of Christ cannot be apprehended by man's intellectual abilities on a cognitive level alone, through study or whatever, but it has to be revealed also on a spiritual plane. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Why don't you turn there? Another set of important verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Interesting, the heart of man. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The way these truths are passed on is by the Spirit. It has not even entered into the heart of man, these things. They've not understood with their heart. But we as Christians have understanding in these areas because we have the Spirit who teaches, who leads, and speaks to us. And then Paul exclaimed in verse 13, to speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, his gospel message was not something human logic would find compelling, but rather it was something imparted in the spiritual realm to those whose hearts were prepared by God to receive it. In fact, Paul even went further and claimed that these things cannot be ascertained through logic. And while I doubt that he was saying they were illogical, still, because they have a spiritual dimension to them, human reasoning without the aid of the Holy Spirit would find them repulsive. He wrote, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because how? These things are spiritually discerned. There are some things that you just won't understand with your mind. You won't understand on the intellectual level. you will only understand them because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually taught. The Holy Spirit communicating with our spirits is really what the understanding of the heart is all about. With this as a foundation, he moves on in 1 Corinthians 2 to explain that these believers were failing to live and walk in the spiritual dimension, saying that they were carnal. His evidence was their envy, strife, and divisions in 1 Corinthians 3:3. May we increasingly connect with the Lord and with our brothers in the Spirit. May we be alert to his presence in us and among us, allowing him to expose our carnality and draw us into his nature, as well as his truth. Understanding begins with understanding the heart of a person. Understanding the heart helps us to understand people. The wisest and most godly man in the nation of Israel was given the important task of assigning and anointing the next king. To guide him in this historic task, God told him that the king would come from a certain family, would come from the family of Jesse. So Samuel went to anoint the next king of Israel. When the firstborn son of that family was brought to Samuel, Samuel was immediately impressed. He was impressed with his outward appearance and exclaimed, "Surely this is the anointed of the Lord." But God quickly reproved him for his misjudgment. Samuel had looked on the outward appearance and had not recognized the pride, the anger, and the arrogance that was in this older brother's heart. And then in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, it says, "The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks" where?
On what?
God looks on the heart. Samuel would have made a tragic choice because he did not study the heart of Eliab. God looks at the heart, and the more we understand each other's hearts, the more we'll understand each other, the closer relationship we will have. Have you ever heard anybody say, "He or she has a big heart"? The heart of a person is real. And we need to start studying each other's heart, and we need to study the hearts of others, because the more we understand hearts, the more we will understand people. Now, I would think that anybody who ever wants to give counsel to somebody has to first understand that person's heart. It's not always what we think it is at first. It's a deeper study of the person. It's a deeper knowledge of the person. You know, some people come off rough and gruff and hard to get at, but underneath, they've got a soft and tender heart. But we really need to understand the real person. We need to understand not what they are from all appearances on the outside, but what they really are down deep, underneath, in the heart. Understanding the heart helps us understand how to bring people to true repentance. The Apostle Peter gives an example of bringing a person to repentance by understanding his heart, rather than responding to his outward actions, words, or appearances. Peter would walk around, lay his hands upon people. When he laid his hands on people, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. There was a man who was watching all this with a keen interest. Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, and so he walked up to Peter, and he said, "I would like to pay you money so that I could be able to do that." He offered them money in exchange for this power, saying, "Give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost," or "he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." Here's the key. "For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray, God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And then he went on to say, I perceive, or I discern, that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Peter was able to see into this man's heart and see the heart of this man and understand his heart. And he said to him, you need to repent of this wickedness because your heart is not right with God. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 24, Simon answered and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. If we had a better understanding of a person's heart and what it really is that drives a person, or what it really is that holding them back from receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and repenting of their sins, if we could really put our finger on the matter, I think we could probably lead more people to repentance. The key is understanding their heart. Understanding the heart. And then understanding the heart helps us understand how to have a heart after God. Understanding the heart helps us to understand how to have a heart after God. David talked about types of hearts more than any other writer of Scripture, and for good reason. God tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. Therefore, the more our hearts parallel David's heart, the more God would be able to say the same thing of us. She is a man after my own heart. I'm not going to go into detail tonight about the different kinds of hearts, but God's word talks about the following hearts. A clean heart, a pure heart, a wise and understanding heart, a broken and contrite heart, a tender heart, a meek and lowly heart, a circumcised heart, a large heart, a good and faithful heart, a perfect heart, a sound and upright heart, and a merry heart. Those are all the kinds of hearts that we need to have so that we can be like David, a man or a woman after God's own heart. Just do a study on heart sometime and work toward those kinds of hearts. Number two, the importance of a wise and understanding heart. The importance of a wise and understanding heart. It's important so that we can have skill and insight into making wise decisions. A wise heart is vital for one who has the responsibility for the lives of others. Solomon recognized this when he was appointed king of Israel, and he made this request before God. And now, Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Of all the things Solomon could have asked for, he said, I want a wise and understanding heart. God answered this prayer and stated, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. Every parent needs a wise and understanding heart. Every leader needs a wise and understanding heart. Every business executive needs a wise and understanding heart. Every single one of us need a wise and understanding heart. Wisdom is especially necessary to carry out skilled work for the Lord. Exodus 36:8 says, and every wise-hearted man among them wrought the work of the tabernacle. Wisdom is expressed in the Greek word sophia. It is a function of the spirit of man in union with the spirit of God. Wisdom allows us to see life from God's perspective and to make decisions that are full of foresight and insight. And then God links wisdom with understanding. Understanding is recognizing the cause and effect sequences of life. Whereas wisdom involves the perceptions of the spirit of what is right and appropriate, understanding brings in the knowledge to verify wisdom and make practical applications in daily decisions. So that's really what understanding is. Understanding why, and then being able to make practical applications for daily decisions in life. That's what I like about the Bible. I guess that's why I'm so interested in understanding. I like practical things. I like to know, be able to take a scripture and apply it. I read a scripture. That's a great scripture, but what does it mean to me? What does it mean for me? How can I apply this to my life? That's what understanding does. It takes the Word of God and it makes it real so that you are able to apply it to whatever situation you are going through. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge." That was illustrated in the skilled work of the tabernacle. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works." So God gives understanding, which leads to knowledge, and then he works that out in particular skills, giving us the knowledge of how to perform particular skills. Understanding involves a knowledge of the nature of God and how it relates to practical living. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Understanding is necessary to observe the law of God with the whole heart. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Psalm 119 and verse 34. Understanding is a deeper awareness of reality than our natural reasoning can reveal. Let me say that. I'd like you to catch that phrase tonight. Understanding is a deeper awareness of reality than our natural reasoning can reveal. The disciples had heard the teaching of Jesus, but it was only when Jesus opened their understanding that they perceived the true meaning of the scriptures. Luke 24:45. "Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." I mean, they had been taught the scriptures by Jesus for 3.5 years. But it wasn't until after the resurrection that he opened their understanding, and then they understood. We need to pray and ask God that he would give us understanding, that he would open our understanding that we might really understand the scriptures. Not just understand because we have heard them, but understand with our hearts, and we understand because we apply them and we live them. I'd like to share with you, just in closing here, point number 3, the steps to gain a wise and understanding heart. How can you gain a wise and understanding heart? First of all, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. God invites us to do this in James chapter 1 and verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Solomon simply asked of God, "God, give me a wise and understanding heart." God answered that request. And just as God gave Solomon a wise and understanding heart, so he will do for us if we ask in faith, nothing wavering. So number 1, ask God for wisdom. Second thing that you can do is obey parents and authorities. Obey parents and authorities. When Jesus was 12 years old, a situation occurred that tested his obedience. Jesus' response was to submit to his parents. And then the scriptures say he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Luke 2:52. And Solomon warns that the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. On the other hand, Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son maketh a glad father." Third thing that you can do is memorize and meditate on Scripture. Scripture is the wisdom of God, and by it we have understanding. The more Scripture is hidden in our hearts and engrafted into our souls, the more we will experience the success that comes from wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 10:8, "The wise in heart will receive commandments." The entire law can be summed up in 2 commandments. Jesus said, first of all, you have to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. Then he said, on these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Learn how to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Learn how to love your neighbor as yourself. You will receive commandments, and you will gain understanding. Number 4, use discernment and good judgment for every decision. Use discernment and good judgment for every decision. Proverbs 16:21, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent." I've often wondered, what's the difference between wisdom and prudence? You know, what is prudence anyway? A prudent person knows what is appropriate and acceptable, especially in his choice of words or in the recognition of moral danger. He's got class. He's got manners. He avoids moral danger. An example of understanding could also be not allowing situations to get us angry. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding." You want to have great understanding? You want to show that you have great understanding? Be slow to anger. Be slow to wrath. The more we can demonstrate that we are slow to anger, the more we demonstrate our understanding. On the other hand, Proverbs 6:32, "Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." Number 5, walk with wise people and not with fools. Walk with wise people and not with fools. Proverbs 13:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." A fool follows his own reasoning and natural inclinations. He rejects the inspiration of God's wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 18:2, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." I would encourage you today to begin to work toward having an understanding heart. Make that a goal in your life. Realize that God wants to speak to you on a deeper level. Realize that God wants you to understand people on a deeper level, a higher plane. There is a way that God wants to reveal himself, another way other than just through knowing him with our mind. It's knowing him in our hearts. It's a high and lofty goal. It's a lofty ambition, but it'll pay off for us in the long run. So you can begin to do that. You can begin to apply these steps that we have had. And you can begin the very first one tonight. Ask God for an understanding heart. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? I want to give you that chance right now to ask God for a wise and understanding heart. Realize tonight that some things are only discerned spiritually. And ask God to take you to that deeper level of understanding. Lord, tonight I pray that you would grant all of us a deeper understanding. Help us, Lord, to understand with our hearts. Help us, Lord, to have a heart that is after you. Lord, I pray tonight that you would replace any stony heart tonight, that you would give us a heart of flesh, that you would put your spirit within us. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to rely not simply upon that which is logical, because there are ways that seem right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not always our thoughts. So give us the lab of understanding. Give us a heart of flesh that's after yours. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 30. So God bless you. You are dismissed.